and share it with others, especially those of your friends and family that need a change of heart on abortion. For more on faith and culture, come to breakpoint.org. I'm John Stone Street.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Thursday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. We're going to get back to our regular study on the will of God today. After yesterday's broadcast, we kind of took a little bit of a hiatus from the study there to deal with some issues, and we'll just fix our eyes on Jesus, open our ears to his word today, and we will press forward so that we can understand and know the will of God. So we want to say thank you today to the folks at Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. To give you an idea, they're working for us today. They're actually coming to do electrical work for us today. And so just in case you think that this is not, this is just something that I talk about, it's not. They're supposed to come and get our exterior lights upgraded today so that when we, now that it's getting dark at noon, dark at about 5:30 of an evening, I said that on purpose to get your attention there. We want to make sure that our exit lights are all working, and it seems like this time of year is when they always go out, and we don't want it to be super dark for people. So we have changed, they've come up with new technology since our security lights were installed the first time. And so we're having them come out and upgrade our lighting so that they last a little bit longer and a little more cost effective. So Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric, they not only do a great job for us, they will do a great job for you. And I encourage you to give them a call, 321-632-9538. I've had Dennis and Carla in our church. Their granddaughter attends our church on Wednesdays. They interim pastor up at a church in Geneva. They are up there and they minister when the pastor is away as well. Great people, and they are very skilled in what they do. They will do a great job for you. And if you want to deal with a Christian company where, you know, you're going to be treated fairly and honestly, and they're going to do the work professionally, give them a call. They've done work for me personally as well as the church, and they will treat you well. Go all throughout the county, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. So we are going to return to the book of Ephesians today, the book of Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 3. We're going to pick up in verse number 7 from where we left off on Tuesday's broadcast. Verse number 3 says this: "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. So, returning back to verse number 7, it says, in him, and we talked earlier about the number of times that it is repeated, in him, in Christ, and all of those things. And so we need to take a look at those. There are many benefits to being in Christ. It is not just Jesus living in our hearts. It is the fact that we are in Christ and we find our place in the position of the body of Christ because he has redeemed us through his blood. It says the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Forgiveness is not because you are so smart. It's not because I am so smart. It's not because we are born American. It is not because of our economic status. It is not because of any of that. It's not because of how hard we work at it or anything like that. We do not work to earn our salvation. We work as a result of our salvation for the glory of God. So there are many people that think, well, just because I don't have to work to earn my salvation, it's the free gift of God, that means that I am free from all responsibility. I want you to know that's not the case. You are now liberated from the strongholds in your life, and I am liberated from the strongholds in my life so that I can pursue unhindered the purpose that God created me for. The will of God in my life, the will of God for this community. And, God does not want us running the race in him handicapped. We talked about that one other time. It says it is according to the riches of his grace. God abounds in grace. It said, which he made, this verse number 8, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Now, I do believe in the grace of God. I believe in the abundant grace of God. I believe that grace is abounding. I believe it is a force that the devil does not understand. But I also believe that it is a force that he has tried to counterfeit. He has tried to contaminate. And many people use the grace of God as a license to sin, and that is not what the grace of God is about. So he frees us from condemnation. He frees us from the strongholds. But because of the riches of his grace, which he made to abound in us, we need to look at the process here that is described by Paul through which grace abounds in our life. Okay? There is a process. We don't necessarily like processes. We don't like systems. We live in a very instantaneous society. You know, we want to go on a diet, you know, skip one meal and wake up tomorrow morning and lost 40 pounds. Wouldn't that be awesome? It's not the way that it works. There is a process that's got to go through. I have discovered that if I want to change, then my mindset has to change. Someone recently posted on Facebook, it says, for there to be change in our life, there has to be a new mindset where we either start doing something that we are not currently doing, or we have to stop doing something that we are currently doing. Probably a little bit of both. We've got to have a new mindset that takes place. And until that takes place, there's going to be a lot of frustration. The reason that I'm talking about that mindset is because the process through which grace abounds in my life and the process that grace abounds in your life, the system that God uses is he makes it abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, not the wisdom of the world. The wisdom of the world will deprive you of grace. It will deprive you of humility. It will cause you to think that it is all about you when in reality it is all about Jesus. But the more that we sit at the feet of Jesus, the more we feast on the spiritual bounty of his word, the more wisdom from heaven that is going to be bestowed upon us and wise application of the truths of God's word, we're going to be very prudent. Did you know that there are a lot of times where the wisdom of God has told me, Bob, don't say a word? Okay. Now, there may be a lot of people out there that the wisdom of God for you, the prompting that you would need to be, would be for you to speak up about something. And I have no problem speaking up, and I have no problem being quiet. I'm a natural introvert, but because of the grace of God in my life, I've had to go outside of that shell. And, you know, amazing thing, a couple of years ago, I was with a bunch of pastors. I was a part of this roundtable discussion, and I was pastoring the smallest church there. And as they went around, there are some of these pastors, and I know them, and they just do exceedingly great works. They're pastoring phenomenal churches. And I went around, and one by one, each of the pastors would say, you know what? I'm a natural introvert. And I was like, what? I never would have guessed that in a million years. And they said, oh, yeah, I can function, but when I need a safe place, I'm looking for some place that I can be all by myself. I know how to thrive in a room with just me and Jesus, and I know how to thrive in a room where God and myself are working to improve people's lives. And it's like, I never would have guessed that. And so I came away from that series of meetings having a great deal more understanding that it is not just what you were, it's what God makes you to be. It's because of the wisdom. Listen, everywhere I go, I am looking for something that is going to abound, cause the grace of God to abound in my life, because God makes me a little bit wiser. I will say this, if you find yourself in a room, and now right now I'm the only person in this room. So when I say this, I want you to know that I am the most foolish person in this room, and I'm the wisest person in this room right now, because I'm the only one in here. It's kind of like we tell our son, look, you're our favorite son. He's the only son that we got. So he is by very nature our favorite son. So I don't know how I got off on all that. But if you constantly find yourself in a situation where you are deeming yourself the wisest person in the room, then your growth in understanding the grace of God is going to be stunted. I need people who will provoke me to good works, who will provoke me to wisdom. I'm so thankful that it is not about an island unto myself. It is very much about working together as the body of Christ, and seeing the grace of God abound in your life gives me wisdom and prudence in my life that is going to cause the grace of God to abound to an even greater degree in my life. You know, the world has this obsession with finances. And it's not a new phenomenon. It's been going on a long time. There was a person who asked a very successful businessman, had lots of money, was one of the most phenomenal retailers in America at that point in time. And they asked him, they said, how much money is enough? And he said, just $1 more. Just $1 more. There was something inside of him that even though he had this tremendous amount of wealth, it was something that was driving him, because he didn't feel like, even though he was one of the richest people in the world, that he had enough to make it. And I want you to know, when you take that last breath, there's not, well, before you take this last breath, let's take a look at your financial statement one more time, just to make sure that you're ready. Listen, it is the grace of God that prepares us for that. So while the world is obsessed with getting just $1 more, the body of Christ should be extremely driven to grow in the grace of God through God causing us to be wiser and more prudent, that we grow in the compassion, we grow in all of these things. Growth is essential. Don't get stagnant in your relationship with Jesus. That is a terrifying place to be. I don't ever want to get to the place where I'm just waiting for, you know, death to come. I don't want to get into that place. I want to be functioning. I want to be a blessing as long as I can. And, you know, I've got this plan that should the Lord tarry and my body expire before the coming of the Lord, that I've got a plan in place that says, look, even my dead body is going to have a purpose here, and it's going to be pointing people to the glorious relationship that they can have in Jesus Christ. So I want to be able to be functioning. So when I was in Oklahoma to share with my pastor's celebration of life, he had passed away, I discovered that even though he was in his 90s and he was no longer able to pastor a church, I found that he was able to impart a great deal of wisdom and understanding just a few years earlier when they were celebrating his 90th birthday, and he was carrying on a great conversation and imparting faith and appreciation for all that God had done. But then I found out that even though he was no longer in full-time vocational ministry, he was still serving God. He was doing baby dedications right up to you know, within a short period of time before he passed away. And I want to be a functioning member of the body of Christ, growing in wisdom, provoking other people to abounding in the grace of God. It says this, that excuse me, having made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will. There are some friends of mine who've done these things called escape rooms, where they throw a bunch of people in the room, and whether it's simulating the Titanic or something else, and they give them a certain amount of time to find themselves a way out of the predicament that they are in. And it's a trial and error thing. It's a mystery. They know you got to get out, and there's a time frame. One of my family members said that they had gone through one and they got out with just a few seconds left before the timer had gone off. Here it says that it says, having made known to us the mystery of his will. Now, I can tell you that one of the great mysteries of the kingdom of God is that Christ left his throne, came and dwelt among men, lived a holy and sinless life, gave himself as a sacrifice for our sins, was baptized so that he could fulfill all righteousness, even though he was not a sinner, shed his blood on the cross, washed away our sins. Before going to the cross, he was beaten chastised with whips, and because of his stripes, there is healing that has been procured for our body. He was buried for 3 days to fulfill scripture. He was raised again to newness of life. He was seen by thousands of people, and he's ascended to the right hand of the Father, where he ever lives to make intercession to the saints. And I know that Jesus Christ is part of that mystery. I understand that. And it confounds the devil. I believe that the grace of God is something that the devil does not understand, because it is the way that God outmaneuvered him. And I also want to declare to you that it's a mystery about his will for our lives and your lives. It's not something that he's wanting to keep secret. It is wanting that it is his desire that we grow in our relationship with him and we press into him so that we get to know him so well that he reveals not only the written revealed will of God through his word, and not only the general specific will that he has to go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is not only his will that you be baptized in the Holy Spirit so that you can be witnesses to him. It is also that mystery of his will about those very critical moments in your life, those junctions that you come to and say, God, which way do I go? Do I go straight ahead, to the right, to the left, or do I just stand here? And maybe it's just the fact that I get a little bit older, but sometimes what I really long for with my relationship with my wife is to not have anything to do and just to spend some time listening to one another, having a conversation with one another. And listen, do you know that one of the biggest breakdown, one of the biggest reasons for breakdowns of marriages is a discontinuation of communication between spouses? One of the biggest problems at work is when there is a communication breakdown. And I just want to encourage you that God wants to develop a relationship with us, not just like I refer to him many times as my commander in chief, where, you know, I'm tasked with the responsibility of coming in and finding out what my marching orders and going out and fulfilling those orders. And there is that aspect of it. But there is also a love relationship there. David, when he, in the Old Testament, when he had been anointed king, Saul had died, but Saul's son was ruling the 10 northern tribes, and David was ruling the 2 southern tribes. He was ruling Judah and Benjamin. There were some people from Israel who came to him. They were soldiers. They were valiant men. And David went out to him and he said, look, if you've come to me to help me, great. If you've come here to cause me problems, then we got problems. That's the Bob Arthur's paraphrase version, 2018 edition. And I love what those soldiers responded. They didn't respond by saying, look, you tell us what to do and we will go do it. Their response was this: we are yours. We are yours. And so rather than just having the desire within us to go and say, okay, God, what's the next thing you want me to do? What if we just spent some time and we enjoyed the presence of God and we reminded ourselves and we testified to God and we made it known to every problem in our life, we belong to Jesus. Are there going to be some battles to face? Yes. But we're in covenant relationship with God, and it is a covenant of love. Here recently, I was on my, well, it was Sunday. I was on my way to do some hospital visitation on Sunday afternoon, and it had rained, and I looked up in the sky and there's this big, beautiful rainbow. And I wanted to take a picture driving down the road, but didn't figure that was the smartest thing to do. So I waited till I got to the hospital, and then I had to try and figure out a way to avoid the massive antenna that was blocking the view. And so I got this picture of the rainbow. And I, by the way, my daughter has been posting some things on Facebook on a daily basis. You see, because it's not all about me. I don't want it all to be about me. I'm looking to develop the giftings. And so she started posting these inspirational and refreshing thoughts as the Lord gives them to her. And by the way, I got them really good this last week on, they were doing video announcements, which we post on Facebook. And I saw that they put a piece of paper up in front of the camera so that people could read it. And, so while they had the piece of paper up there, I snuck up behind them. They didn't know it. When they pulled the piece of paper down, there was my smiling mug. And they didn't know it, and they freaked out, and we had a great laugh at that. But she had posted this thing on the rainbow last week. But as I was seeing that big beautiful rainbow, it's not just that for me that God has created a covenant that He's never going to destroy the earth again by flood, but that it's a covenant of love. You know, many times people view binding contracts. Listen, when I signed a contract for a mortgage on my house, I didn't think there was any love there between the bank and myself. It was just a contract. But for us, God's got a covenant of love. He wants us to know the mystery of His will. But let's not go get so wrapped up and the target, okay, God, what do you want me to do next? That we miss the real treasure of God. I'm just so thankful that I get to spend some time with you. You know, I've got this crazy thought, and that is that if we spent more time with Jesus, we might become more like Him. If we spent more time building our relationship with Jesus, the mystery of hearing from God might be a little easier to resolve, and we'd find that the things that we need to do for the glory of God, that revelation would come a lot easier if we'd just spend some time with Him. I want to encourage you today. Make it a goal. Put a plan. Say, God, how can I go about building my relationship with You? One of those ways is spending time in prayer. One is spending time in His Word. And one of them is spending time with other believers worshiping Him. God bless you. You have a great day. See you next time.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."